the state Democratic convention going on this weekend in San Diego. Bob Mulholland has been a leader in the Democratic Party in the state for a long, long time. He's on his way down to San Diego, and Bob joins us this morning. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Very good to have you with us. Before we start talking about what to expect this weekend from the Democrats, I know you had a chance to listen to the president's remarks this morning at CPAC. So let's take just a minute to talk about your reaction to that.
Well, once again, disappointed. I served in Vietnam, wounded in Vietnam. And when I watched Trump this morning, it seemed to be an awful lot of support, sympathy for those who have AR-15s, those semi-automatic rifles, versus little sympathy for the families that just lost 17 last week in Florida. Yeah, it was almost like he thought, I'm up for re-election, and I got to really appeal to the gun owners of America, which are a minority, but they're powerful. So I was very disappointed. It was a political speech. And
well,
I guess
and as we expect it to be, yes, yes. And we expect you to give a political speech when it comes to what the Democrats are up to this morning.
I'll tell you the difference. If you're the president of the United States, it's best to show emotion, whether it's a natural disaster or assault weapon, multiple shootings, killings. That's what I'd like to see from a president. We've had a lot of presidents, Ronald Reagan after the Challenger. I mean, they really give emotional thing, or Bush Jr. after 9/11.
Right.
They give some emotional connection to the voters to feel like we're all together. I don't get that from Trump.
Well, he was very concerned, though, about the way his hair looked in the video monitor at the very beginning of his speech. So there was some emotion there.
I tried to hide my bald spot. I kept thinking a bald spot in his brain. I thought that was embarrassing. Why was he spending? I love looking at these.
I don't know. I can't answer that. But let's talk about what to expect this weekend. There has been sort of some back and forth as far as the California Democratic Party, the state party, is concerned, and even about who's running the joint. And has that all been resolved now as far as state Democrats are concerned?
Oh, yeah. Eric Bauman was elected chair last May. I wasn't at the convention. I was in Israel at the time, but he was elected, and he's been the chair, and he's putting together a good convention. I've been attending state conventions since 1975 when Ronald Reagan was governor. So this one is very, very positive because Democrats sit in all 10 statewide elected offices.
Yeah.
We've won 2/3 of both houses. So what happens this weekend, a week from now, no voter will even remember there was a state convention, but what the candidates have is an opportunity to sort of like a cow show where they go in front of 3,000 delegates plus volunteers and say, hey, connect me, and boom. These are the people who go back to all 58 counties and will get excited about their candidate, organize for their candidate, and help their candidate. And that's what it's really about.
Do you expect to learn anything new about the gubernatorial candidates this weekend, Bob?
Yes. I know them all. I've talked to them all. But I'm always... You know, the sad thing about going to funerals, you always learn things about people that you've known 30 years that you never heard or even know. But, at conventions, we always learn something. But nobody will get the endorsement in the governor race because it takes 60%.
Yeah, and right now the race is pretty neck and neck between Villaraigosa and Gavin Newsom. And that was kind of a surprise development because there was a huge gap between them at the beginning. You okay, Bob?
Yeah, I'm fine. In July of 1993, Kathleen Brown, the state treasurer, sister of Jerry Brown, she was ahead of Governor Pete Wilson by 22 points. In November of 94, he won by 15 points. So the polls are, we always hear a photograph of today. They're not a photograph of next November. The tragedy for California is we may just end up with two Democrats for governor in the general election. That's unfair to most voters.
Yeah, how do you expect that to be?
The Republicans have two minor or three minor people running for governor. I think one of them has a lot of money. If that candidate pours the money in, they can then be the nominee for the Republican Party. And I hope that happens. I think it's better to have a democracy that has two different parties or more rather than one party, because this present system we have reminds me of the old Communist Party system. Yeah, we're having elections. They're both from our same party. And that's not good for the system.
And how are state Democrats going to address this looming issue over the entire country, which is about gun control and about safety in schools?
Well, California has always led the way in gun safety, children's safety, Dianne Feinstein, our senator, had the semi-automatic weapon ban for 10 years, but unfortunately Republicans didn't allow it.
Yeah, and she was ready with the bump stocks ban, too, and that didn't go anywhere, at least until now.
You know, I certainly had an automatic rifle, M16 in Vietnam, but I had never even heard of this bump stock. I had no idea that something like that could turn a semi-automatic into an automatic, and, you know.
I don't think many of us knew that before the Las Vegas shootings at the concert there. So that is not the way we want to get educated about these things for sure.
1,100 bullets in 10 minutes. That's like a machine gun. But anyway, the Democrats are in consensus on that. We need to do more. And we certainly don't need to be allowing people who have mental problems, have other problems, convicted felons of violence, to have access to weapons. So these gun mass shootings will continue, unfortunately. And despite some rhetoric out of some Republicans, nothing really will change. I think the bump stock will stay legal in America.
See, of course, that's a very interesting part of this that we're going to be watching very closely. The other thing I'm wondering, Bob, a lot of us have talked about it, the amazing, powerful effect that students' voices have had in this discussion over the past 10 days. And that maybe, just maybe, that will make the difference moving forward in terms of there being some real bipartisan movement with regard to this issue. What do you think?
I am so amazed by those kids, 17 and 18 years old. And you go, why? How the heck do they act so articulate, so sympathetic, so strong in their beliefs and statements in front of a camera?
Very much so.
And I thought, wow, I bet there's kids like this all throughout America, but they're only able to come to the top like that in these kind of crises or maybe a sports event and stuff like that. I think these kids are speaking to their generation more so than the over 65.
Yeah.
So in the future, I think there will be a lot more gun safety measures in this generation coming out of Florida. And, you know, on March 24th, high schools around America on a Saturday, March 24th, are going to do similar rallies. And I think that's good for America.
Yep, March for Our Lives coming up next month.
Yes.
And you know, these are the kids. I mean, I just wonder if this circumstance, this very tragic circumstance, will lead a number of those kids to actually want to get involved more so as they become adults in the political process. And some of these names we may be hearing for years to come, Bob.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It's exactly what I thought. I'm seeing some of these youngsters in front of that podium, in front of that mic, and talking. We're going to change this. We know how to use the technology. And I said to my wife, I said, some of these kids are going to be in public office someday.
Yep. Yeah, I think they're certainly, you know, they've been really entrenched in the process over the last 10 days. So I hope that you're right about that. And I assume that Kamala Harris will be part of the discussion or part of the process in San Diego this weekend. Is there anything that can stop, in your opinion, her trajectory?
No, she's obviously not. Kamala Harris is not on the ballot. This year.
Right.
She's not on the ballot till 2022 unless she decides to run for president in 2020. But she is doing very well. The delegates like her. She's had a nice relationship with activists around the state, from district attorney of San Francisco to attorney general to U.S. to state attorney general to U.S. senator. She's got a good future ahead of her.
Yeah, I think that that's going to be hard to avoid for Kamala Harris unless something goes terribly awry. Any surprises this weekend from the Democrats?
There's always surprises, but it most likely be in some of the local races, some of the congressional races, because there's 7 congressional Republican seats in California where Secretary Clinton won in 2016. And we have a lot of Democrats that are raising a lot of money. Most because if it's a multiple candidate race, can't get the endorsement. But who knows? Maybe this weekend one of them will break through and become a favorite. And we hope we can pick up 2 or 3 seats in California this fall to help Nancy Pelosi. And as a result of the state Supreme Court decision in Pennsylvania a few days ago, it looks like we'll pick up 2 or 3 congressional seats in Pennsylvania. So Nancy Pelosi may be on her way back to being Speaker. The wave is continuing across America. It was in Virginia last November, and it was in Kentucky the other night in a special election.
Well, we'll see after this weekend and certainly over the course of the next many months here in California and across the board. Bob, thanks so much for being with us. I know you're at the airport on your way to San Diego.
Call me anytime.
Thanks for taking the time to be with us. That is Bob Mulholland, a longtime senior advisor and longtime chief spokesperson for the Democratic Party in California, the big convention going on. Yes, in San Diego, at least this weekend, it will be bluer than ever.